Okay, well, my name is Pam Espinosa, and I'm so glad that you came to this workshop today. So we're going to learn a little bit about God's heart for you, and it's really, really special because I think sometimes as women, not even just as women, just as people, we're so quick to feel condemnation. And you know, condemnation is straight from the pit of hell. And we really need to take a look at how God really feels for us, His love for us. Because you know what? His love is unconditional. So let's start out with prayer. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father God, for this time to come before you and before your word, Father God. I just pray, Father God, that you would speak to each and every heart that's here today, Father God. That, God, you know where each and every person is at, God. That I pray that no one leaves this place today without feeling a touch from you, Father God. And Lord God, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, God wants the same things that you want. Like I already said, I gotta get this. Okay. I feel a little smushed back here. anyway, God wants the same things that you want. He wants intimacy with you. A lot of times we think of intimacy as being, you know, romantic with just your husband or, you know, like it's kind of gross to think of intimacy with God. But intimacy is so special, and it's that close relationship that you can only get with God. Because once you have that with God, if you are married, that's how you're going to have it with your husband. If you're not married, start it now, because by the time you did get married, you got it all together. This is good. Now, you're not going to be perfect, but you're going to have it together, okay? There's two different things. He wants to know you as only lovers can know each other. And sometimes we think that's kind of weird, but you know what? He wants to know you as only lovers can know each other. That's intimacy. He wants you to have a heart filled with love for him. We know that he has a heart filled with love for us because ever since you were probably this little, you heard of John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But you know what? He does. His love is so deep and it's so real. But you know what else? He wants you to have a love that deep for him. That's how you have intimacy. We always have heard that we have, you know, I have a place in my heart just for God. There's a place in my heart. You know, we have that void in our life if we're not walking with God, right? But do you know what? There's a very chamber in God's heart that is just for you. But you need to think about that. There's a chamber in God's heart that is just for you. That's Crystal's spot. That's Ann's spot. That's Lynette's spot. That's Danita's spot. That's all of your spots. There's a chamber in God's very heart just for you. You need to remember that, because that's how you're going to get the intimacy with him. The Bible says that we overwhelm his heart with just one look of our eyes. Song of Solomon says, Song of Solomon 4:9 says, "You have ravished my heart with one look of your eyes." You have ravished my heart with one look of your eyes. Is that beautiful? That is so precious. We think just of, like I said, we think of it just as husband and wife, but picture, this is God. This is your heavenly Father. You ravish his heart with just one look of your eyes. We get up in the morning, he sees us, and we excite him. He's so happy to see us. Message Bible says it like this: "You have captured my heart, dear friend. You looked at me, and I fell in love. One look at my way, and I was hopelessly in love." Wow. That's amazing. He delights in you. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God, in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Wow. Yes. Zephaniah 3:17, yes. So he wants to pour his love into your heart, but he wants you to pour your heart into him. So we know that we're made for such love, right? How many just ache for love? When you're single, how many single in here? Okay, so those that are single, don't you just ache? Maybe not everybody, but don't you do just ache for love, don't you? Yeah? You do, you just ache for love. Married women, where's the married women? Don't you just ache for love? So see, We're all the same. Whether you're single or married, we all ache for love, okay? So we're going to do something. We're going to sit by the well with the Samaritan woman who, you probably know the story, but she came expecting insult and condemnation, and she received acceptance and love. Next, we're going to go and stand by the woman who was caught in adultery. And she was expecting condemnation and death, but she got forgiveness and she got a new chance. The last thing we're going to do is we're going to sit in on the conversation that the angel had with Mary on that ordinary day when she was 15 years old and see how that changed her life, what God said to her and how that changed her life. Okay, so go to John chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. Oh, I guess I need my glasses. Whoops. Sorry, I gotta find my glasses. Okay. Okay, John chapter 4. All right, you ready? 1 through 6. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisee had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat there by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Jesus being weary. Don't we get weary on our journey sometimes too, right? doesn't this show how human Jesus is? Now Jacob's well, okay, and I said that, okay, was, so let's kind of picture this. Here's this woman who was weary. She had to go walking. I don't even know how far it was. I know other people know how far it was, but to Jacob's well. You know, she had to go when everybody else didn't go because she had already been scorned by, you know, turned off by other women. And here she is. This is my vision of her. Walking down with her jug, empty jug of water, her empty jug pail, you know, to go get water. And to me, that empty jug probably really reflects her life, right? Because she just walked in and she must be thinking, all I ever wanted was to be loved. And yet here she was, married and divorced 5 times. She was rejected by men. And this is how she felt, I'm sure. I mean, I don't know, but this is what we get out of here, okay? 5 times being rejected by men. 5 times of being married and divorced, being rejected by men and shunned by her friends. And it's funny when I think about this because, you know, I don't know her name. We don't know her name. But the truth is, that could have been me and it could have been you. I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you came from. But maybe you've been married once, twice, 3 times, 5 times like this woman, and you have felt rejected. So just so that you can get a picture of how real this is, okay? Because this is really real, real. So here she is just thinking and in the middle of her thoughts. When she's walking up, she's approaching the well, and she sees a man sitting there. Remember, the Bible tells us Jesus sat down by the well because he was weary and he was tired. So she's walking up and she's approaching, and there is some man sitting there. And she's probably thinking, ah, geez, what does he want? What's he doing here? And what does he say to her? He says to her, he then asks her for a drink. And then she says to him, well, what, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. Isn't that like breaking all the rules? You know, they don't talk to women. And here he is talking to her. And so, you know, he thought, she must have thought, if that were me, I probably would have been a little sarcastic. Like, whoa, now you're going to talk to me right here? Isn't that just breaking all the rules? But just being sarcastic. And he tells her, if you only knew who I am, you'd be asking me for a drink. And he says, what did he say? I will give you living water. So you know she got really excited because living water, okay, that means I don't have to come down to this well anymore. But we know he wasn't talking about physical needs, right? He was talking about a spiritual need. He could give her all that she had ever want and ever need. So it got her interest, And got her interest. She got excited. So she said, Jesus tells her, go and tell your husband. Go get him. Tell him to come here. She said, oh, I don't have a husband. And he said, oh, you're telling me the truth. Because the man you're living with now is not your husband. And, you know, he didn't say it with condemnation. He said it just stating a fact. Sometimes I think we can read that and think like he was condemning her, but he wasn't condemning her. He said it with such love. He just wanted to see if she was going to tell the truth. So many times we just want to say something and we just think it's just condemnation and it's not. And so my point on that is that Jesus didn't say anything with condemnation. He said it with love. And as the story goes on, he reveals to himself who he is. And, of course, we know that she, you know, is excited, her life has changed, and she goes forward, okay? What I want to point out is that Jesus had to go to Samaria. He had to go to Samaria. The Bible tells us he had to go to Samaria. Why? Because he had to meet her there. He called her for such a time as that. That was her day. And when God comes and he meets you right then and there because that's your time. He called you for such a time as that. And you got to remember that. That's how special you are. Sometimes we picture God being way up there and he's just this big God and so many people are talking to him. He's not going to hear me. And who am I? I mean, I thought that. Who am I? Who am I to come up here and share this with you? I'm doing nothing but stumbling around right now. Who am I? But you know what? Who am I to God? Who are you to God? He hears your prayer. It doesn't matter how many people are talking to him at the same time. God chose her. And another thing is, you know, she must not have been a very young woman. And I think sometimes the older we get, the more we think, you know, we're not worthy or we are, you know, too old to be of any use. But, you know, this lady, she must not have been very young. Because to be married and divorced 5 times, she's experienced life a little bit. So for those of us that are older and have experienced life a little bit, we're not too old. We're not too old. God has such a love for us. The second thing is that she expected insult and rejection. Because remember, he was a Jew. She was a Samaritan woman. She thought, you know, he was just going to say whatever to her and be mean to her, whatever. And yet she got love and she got acceptance. And so let's read about the adulterous woman. And go to John, it's just over a few pages, to chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came to him, and he sat down, and he taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set... And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Whoa. In the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they had said, testing him, that they might have something to which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down. I want you to hear this, but Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and he said, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. Wow. Okay, we hear somebody that's committing adultery, and what do? We start throwing stones like we have no sin in our life. And what does God do? He acts like he didn't even hear. He's like, you know? Again, he stooped down and he wrote again on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up, he saw no one but the woman, and he said to her, Woman, where are the accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Wow. Okay, you know, when they brought this woman to Jesus, if she was caught in the very act, she must not have been dressed, right? I mean, I'm married and I know I ain't dressed if I'm in the act, okay? So this woman could not have been dressed. So if they came and they brought her to Jesus, and there's all these people, the Bible says that there was the crowd, right? There was all these people over there, okay? And here she sees Jesus, and she's expecting, okay, you know, back in that day, you get stoned. So she thought she's going to get rejected, she's going to get condemned, and she's going to get stoned. But instead, she meets up with this man who doesn't look at her half-naked body. He didn't look at her the way the other men were looking at her. The other men are looking at her, judging her, and, you know, whatever else, right? Because here they see this woman. And Jesus, he didn't look at her half-naked body. You know what he looked at? He looked right into her heart, right into her soul. And that's how he does with us. And so here, when the Bible says that when he's in verse 7, he says, "He who has no sin, let him throw the first stone." And then obviously nobody did. So later on he says, "Now go on, leave the sin, leave it all behind you, sin no more, go on." Here he is. This is my vision. Here he is down here on the ground, and she's probably just standing there, petrified, wouldn't you? I would, just be like, oh my gosh. And so here he is, and he picks his head up, and he tells her, "Where are they? No one's condemning you? Neither do I." So when he picked his head up and he looked at her, wow, do you know she looked in the face of love? The face of love. The face of love himself. God is love. Love is God. Can you imagine the transformation that woman had at that moment of time? And that's how he sees us. We feel condemned. We feel beat down. And God's just like, "Don't worry. It's all good." He picks his head up and he looks at us, and all we see is a face of love. That's how much he loves you. And that's how much he loves me. He was moved by, he had such compassion, and he looked at her with, I want to say, unadulterated love. Unadulterated love. It doesn't get better than that, girls. It doesn't get better than that. So what do we learn? That she received forgiveness and a new chance. And another thing is that God doesn't just set us free from our past. A lot of times we think God just set us free from our past. Like that lady, he set her free from the past. He said, "Go and sin no more. You're forgiven. Go." So he doesn't just set us free from our past, but he sets us free to a new and exciting future. So don't stay where you're at. When he set you free, you keep going. Don't keep looking back. My husband always says, God gave us eyes on the front of our head so we can go forward, not on the back of our head. Okay? Okay, the next one I want to go over is Mary, the mother of Jesus. So go to Luke 1, verse 28. Okay. Let's start with 27, I guess. Let's just start with 26. Okay. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, she was pregnant, okay? Of Christ's birth announcement, okay. 6 months of, they were announcing that Christ was going to be born. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered, "What manner of greeting is this?" Then the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Okay, now usually when we think of Mary and Joseph, we think of the whole birth story, you know, Christmas story, right? But something I want to picture is I want you to picture like how I picture it in my mind because I'm very visual. And Mary was like 15, 16 years old. She was a child. So I just picture her being at home and her mom saying, Mary, are you done eating the dough? Listen, when you're done with that, go out and milk the goats. She's 15 years old. But at 15 years old, she was had a life full of activities because she was about to get married, right? She was going to be, they got married a lot younger then. She was about to get married, and the contract had already been signed, you know, all of that. She was ready to go. And then she gets this visitation from the angel. Man, you talk about life being interrupted right there, right? I'm just all, woohoo! You know, when you're about to get married, you're just so excited, and then here this angel comes, and he tells her, greetings, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. And seeing her face go pale, I'm thinking, he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid because you have found favor with God. Wow. Can you imagine an angel appearing to you? Okay, we would just probably freak out, right? Because we would. And so here she goes, here she's just like a normal girl like you and I. And so many times we think like, well, that's Mary. Because, you know, there's other denominations and stuff that, like, put Mary on such a pedestal, so we think, like, we can't never go there. But there's good news. The same word that he says to Mary, rejoice, highly favored one, that you have found favor with God, he says to us, you are highly favored. I am highly favored. Each and every one of you are highly favored. You are highly favored. Ephesians 1, let's go to Ephesians 1:3-6. It's funny, you know, we never picture ourselves as being highly favored, right? We don't see that. You know why? We get so caught up in seeing ourselves in our daily schedules of what we're doing. We get so busy seeing our failures, seeing where we've always, you know, just missing it. Man, I meant to do this and I didn't. Man, I told God, I promised God I wasn't going to do this anymore and I did. And that's all we ever focus on. That's all we ever see. And yet God tells us, just like he told Mary, that we're highly favored. So Ephesians 1:3-6 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which is his goodness, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. There's the word. Accepted means highly favored. How many times do you just read over that and you don't really know what it means? And yet God tells you that you're highly favored. And that describes us. We are accepted and we're highly favored. Do you know that favor also means grace? You come to the Rock, you probably know Pastor Jim always has drilled into us for so long that grace is God's divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. So does anybody else need God's grace or is it just me? Because I've had to go through a lot of things in my life where, seriously, if I didn't have God's grace to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it, I wouldn't be here. But you know what? If you didn't have grace, God's divine ability, doing what you can't do, you wouldn't be here. Are you getting it? So that's favor. That's a spiritual blessing. That's a gift. If I gave Teresa something, this pen, if I gave this to her, but she's not taking it, and she's not taking it, and I'm like, Teresa, this is for you, you can have it, but she doesn't take it, what good is that gift? It's not. But if Teresa takes it, now she's highly favored because she took that, she received it. And that's what, that's the way you got to see yourself. God's given this to you. Receive it. Receive it. Don't let the enemy tell you otherwise. You know what? He is such a liar. He is such a liar. You know, we've got to be tired. We've got to be tired and get that militant about, I am tired of the enemy trying to tear me down. I am tired of him putting me under my feet, acting like I'm trash or a mat to be walked on. You're highly favored. You've got the grace of God on your life. Oh my goodness. I think the beautiful thing about it too is that, you know what? He didn't have to give it to us. He wanted to. He chose to. He chose to. Wow, that's awesome. Romans 11, 5 through 6 says, we are chosen by grace. Romans 3, 24 says, we are saved by grace. Romans 12, 6 says, we are given spiritual gifts by grace. Ephesians 1, 7, Paul says God lavishes his grace upon us. Wow. Wow. I think some of you just really need to see yourselves that way.
Can you say that first again?
Yes, the last one. Ephesians 1, 7, Paul says God lavishes his grace upon us.
The one before that?
The one before that is Romans 12, 6. We are given spiritual gifts by grace. You know, favor had nothing to do with Mary. Favor has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God. Everything to do with God. So, don't look at yourself. You know, a lot of times we think we're not worthy of it. But you know what I think? I think that's selfish. Do you know why? Because we're only thinking of ourselves. Oh, I'm not worthy, and I'm this, and I'm that. Aye, 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 we need to quit the eyes, because it's not about us. It's about God. It's about God. He chose you. You responded to that call. Teresa took my pen, right? So she received it. Well, God called you. He chose you. You responded to it, so you receive it. So quit staying on the outside, crying the woes, crying victim, crying whatever it is you're crying. I don't know. But we all do it. We've all been there. So we need to not do that. We need to see ourselves as highly favored. Mary wasn't the only one who was highly favored. Mary was called to carry his son, Jesus. Okay? We're not going to do that. That's all been done. That's a done deal. But he has called us highly favored. See, Mary was just an ordinary girl. Living an extraordinary life. She was called to an extraordinary life. But you know what? You're an ordinary girl. I'm an ordinary girl. But we're called to an extraordinary life. Because God's called you to that. He has called you to that. So what do we learn from Mary? That she is highly favored. And it had nothing to do with Mary. Nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with me. But everything to do with God. The other thing is that she was just an ordinary girl with an extraordinary calling. And she believed by faith. She obeyed by choice. That seems to be challenging sometimes. We need to believe by faith and we need to obey by choice. It's one thing to know that, you know, God's called us to this. He's called us as highly favored. He's given us his grace. He's given us his love. He's given us freedom. I can go on. He's called us to so many things that we can walk in, that we choose not to, and we choose not to obey. And why don't we obey sometimes? Why don't we obey sometimes? My mind, in my opinion, I say because we are afraid. We're fearful. We're afraid of the unknown. And I want to say, I want to look at where did I have it down? Where Mary, I want to show you how Mary responded to Jesus, because I love this. In Luke 1:38, Mary responded to Jesus with, not to God, to the angel, okay? Mary responded to the angel and said, to God, she didn't respond to the angel. She says, in 1:38, she says, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. She was recognizing who she was. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed. So she said to the angel. And the angel departed. Wow, when God calls you to something, Do you say, let it be to me, according to your word? No. We question it, and we're like, okay, was that God, or is that just me because I want it? That's what we do. But here she, I love how she responded. And then in Luke 1:46-47, Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Wow. Luke 1:46-47. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Wow, are you guys getting that? Yes. Are you getting how we need to respond? Because he talks to you. If you're having your time and your quiet time with God, I mean, don't just go in your room and have your time with God and get up and just get going. You need to pour out your heart, praise him, thank him, talk to him, and then zip it. Okay, Lord, I'm waiting on you. Talk to me. Rejoice in him. Do what she says. She rejoiced in God her Savior. Wow. It just so excites me. It just so excites me. You know why it excites me so much? Because I really think that as women, we've gotten beat up so many times. And there comes a time and a place in your life that, you know what? You just need to flat out accept what God has done for you. And you just need to flat out accept the fact that, you know what? I am nothing without him. But I have everything in him. Everything. Because his love covers everything. His love is so deep. His love is so wide. And there you are, right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of it. So, we realize that God intentionally meets us. Okay, I'm just going to kind of recap a little bit on something. God intentionally meets us. And he wants to give us his acceptance and his love. Don't worry, we're not over. It's too early, we're not over yet. The second thing is we are too forgiven and given a second chance. Right? Mm-hmm. We're forgiven and given a second chance. He set us free from our past and he set us free to an exciting future. You guys have such an exciting future ahead of you. When I was younger, I used to think like, I remember thinking like my whole life was wrapped around my kids. They still are wrapped around my kids. But my identity, if you will, was wrapped up in being mommy. I was wife and I was mommy forever, you know. And then I got older and my kids started leaving. And my life started changing. I was no longer room mom. I was no longer the one, you know, making all the cupcakes. And, you know, my kids volunteered me for everything and his brother and then told me at the last minute. And so, you know, and I loved it, though. To be honest, I loved it because I knew that they knew that they could count on me. So my whole life was wrapped up into that. Well, then as they got bigger and life started changing for me, and it was kind of like, who am I? Who am I? Because now I can't go to their school. I can't, you know, drop three kids off at three different schools like I did for a long time. I can't, that's not who I am anymore. It's a part of my life. It's my past. But, and then when I went through my whole breast cancer thing and I lost my breast and I lost my hair, and then here I am faced with it again. Who am I? Oh my gosh. And I think that's why I get so excited about this. Because you know what? We are so highly favored. We've been accepted and we're loved. God has set us free from the past. You know where our identity is? My identity is in him. I am who he says I am. So when God really showed to me that I am who he says I am, and I am victorious, and I do have favor on my life, just like you do, it set me free. That's why I'm excited. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I want that for you too. We've got to change our thinking about who we are. Because it's not based on our past, okay? It's not based on yesterday. Today's a new day. Word tells us his mercies are new every morning. Amen. Oh my goodness, do I love that. Every day is a new day. When I was going through my treatments and my day was not always the best day because of not feeling well, I remember saying, tomorrow's going to be a better day. Because you know what? The sun's going to set tonight, and the sun's going to rise tomorrow, and it's going to be a better day. And you know what else? His mercies are new every day. Amen. So, hey, there we have it. I'm a little off my notes, but there's a level of confidence that we have when we're into him. You know why? Because it's no longer about us. It's about him. It's not about what I can do. It's about what does he want me to do? Where does he want me to go? What does he want me to say? See, now we're not being so selfish and self-centered and thinking about me, right? It's about him. It's all about him. It's not me doing anything. It's him. So we got to know that, like Mary, we're just ordinary girls with an extraordinary calling on our life. Look, you might think that you're not doing anything real big and special, but you do have an extraordinary calling. Robin, look at you. Look at the calling on your life. You never knew until that day Ryan was born. You never knew that God called you to this journey. But your life changed that day. Because God's with you. Because he's taking you through it. Because on your own, you can't do it, but through God, you can. He's given you every tool, everything that you need, he's given you. What a joy. That is just to me a proof of every day his mercies are new every day. Is that day when Ryan was born, you didn't know how your life was going to change. That day on September 11th, 2009, when I got the call that I had cancer, I didn't know how my life was going to change. I don't know what you guys are going through, but you know what? God has called you to an extraordinary calling. It's special. Let's quit looking at life like, oh my gosh, you know, I can't do this. Yeah, you can't do this. But through God, you can. God's heart, my life. And so you got to know. You've got to let it drop inside your heart that God's called you to an extraordinary calling. Life from this point on is not normal for you. Don't let it be a normal, everyday life. I want you ladies, when you leave from here today, I want you to leave with a dance in your step, a song in your heart. I want you to leave knowing that God is all, he's all you ever need. He has given you favor. He has set you free. He has said, who's condemning you? Go, sin no more. When you pick your face up, you look into the eyes of love.
Amen.
Amen. I want to read this poem to you. It says, woman, he shapes her frame and shades her skin. He molds her mind and measures her structure. He sculpts the contour of her face, the almonds of her eyes, and the graceful stretch of her limbs. Long before she has spoken a word, he has held her voice in his heart. Cell by cell, tenderness by tenderness, and with care beyond care, in creation, he simply loves her. Wow, that's you. Say, that's me.
That's me.
That's how you guys need to see it. There's no greater longing in the heart of a woman than to be loved, cherished, and cared for, right? There's no greater longing in your heart. None. God desired our hearts. God designed our hearts to desire these things. Why? Because he desires those things for us. As much as we want that, he wants that from us. As much as we want God to be there and we want him to listen to us and we want him to answer our prayers, he wants us to come to him. He wants us to ask him. He wants us to pour our hearts out. Go home, lay on your floor, get on your face. God, here I am. He wants that from you. He designed you that way. He designed you that way. He's the one that designed your heart to desire love the way you do. Because he is love. He's the ultimate. Eve was the crowning touch of God's creative masterpiece. She was not an afterthought. She was the grand finale. Think about it. He looked down and he saw Adam. Ah, it wasn't good enough. Sorry, Ben. They looked and it wasn't good enough. He said, nah. Okay. And he created woman. And we just saw how he framed you. And he designed you. We beat ourselves up. I'm so emotional. And I just cry and blah, blah, blah. He designed you that way. Quit beating yourself up. Thank God for creating you that way. Praise God he created us this way. Because he didn't create men like that. He created us like that. We're the grand finale. We were created to complete God's image bearer. You know that? We were completed. We were created to complete God's image bearer. We bear his image. Proverbs 31:10 describes woman this way. An excellent wife who can find. Then it begins to describe her. Her worth, your worth is far above jewels. The NIV says it this way. A wife of noble character. And the Amplified describes it this way. A capable, intelligent, and virtuous woman. That's who you are. The Hebrew word that's translated excellent or virtuous can also mean wealthy, prosperous, boldly courageous, powerful, and mighty. Okay, this is who you are. Your worth is far above jewels. You're of noble character. Now, when I say wife, you know it's woman, okay? You don't have to be a wife to be these things. This is who God says you are. You're capable, intelligent, and virtuous. You're wealthy, prosperous, boldly courageous, powerful, and mighty in the kingdom of God. Okay. Did you guys get it? Because you guys are awful quiet. And I feel so excited. But did you guys enjoy that? Wasn't that awesome? Yeah. God is so amazing. He's all those things. It's just amazing.